Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. Of a truth, Lord, it's a great privilege to be in your sweet presence. And as we go into your word tonight, once again, Lord, we come to pray. I ask for fresh mercy. Lord, I dock under the covering of my fathers, and under the name and the authority of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. And I ask for fresh mercy and unction so that as I minister your word tonight, help me to minister in purity, in clarity, in power, in simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit, so that there will be an edifying that will come to the entire body by reason of what you will do in our midst tonight under the covering of our fathers in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that your word, as it comes forth, will cause our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and dominated by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so that our lives will not be the same, but you will strengthen the weak hands, you will confirm our feeble knees, and help us to keep running with patience, circumspectly, this race that you have set before us, so that we will obtain that which you have set before us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy. Help me to redeem the time. Lord, not to say unnecessary things, but Lord, being led by you, Lord, to be able to flow with you, and as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bring out things new and old out of the treasure of your word. We also pray that as your word goes forth, you will cause yokes to be broken. Lord, wherever the word goes by the power of the Holy Spirit under covering, in the name of Jesus, let blind eyes be opened, let deaf ears be unstopped, so that, Lord, there will be a turning unto righteousness. Lord, the wisdom of the just, to bring forth fruit that will glorify our Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. As we go into the word tonight, before we go into it, I'd like to give honor to my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, whose lives are a very strong, inspiring example, and have really helped me personally to stay the course, you know, all these years, you know, excellence, you know, sacrifice, commitment, you know, and tenacity when it comes to doing exactly what the Bible says. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you, Mommy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your patience. And I trust that as the word comes forth this evening, it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you and also to my brethren. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. We're going to the word tonight. This is our School of the Spirit service. And the Lord dropped a word in my heart, entitled it, A Body Prepared. A body, Bible says, a body has thou prepared for me. So the Lord said, a body being prepared. God is preparing a body. Amen. And this was really a spin-off from the Bible study on Sunday when I just noticed in the Bible that God always uses a body. There may be one person that is prominent, but that person never operates alone. Daniel had a body of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and himself, at least. There may be others we don't know. Okay? The Lord Jesus deliberately went and chose 12 disciples, you know, to create a body. Amen? All right? And we see also David and his mighty men, they were a body. Amen? God always uses a body. You cannot fulfill your destiny outside of a body. You know, it's the body is the vehicle, but then there are individuals within the body still have a responsibility within the body to do what you're supposed to do, but you still need a body. Amen? So you need to have both a body mentality and then also an individual mentality in the sense that, yes, there's some things that are on my watch, but at the same time, you need to make sure you take care of the body around you because the body is going to contribute to you in a way that, you know, you will not be able to determine or fathom. And thank God they will be there. Like we were saying on Sunday, it was the body that delivered Paul through a basket when they were trying to kill him. The body raised him when they prayed over him when he was stoned for dead. It was the body. You know, so when you are powerless, the body will be there for you. So it's important to understand that there's a body, sow into the body, and then be able to reap as an individual. Amen? And that's what this message is about. It's about a body being prepared. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 7 in the Amplified Bible. Not the classic edition, just the regular Amplified Bible. Hebrews chapter 10 says, therefore, I know it's not up yet, but okay. Verse 5. Well, I'm talking about the Amplified, so you're using. So therefore, when Christ enters into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but instead you have prepared a body for me to offer. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no delight. Then said I, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, to fulfill what is written of me in the scroll of the book. Now, what is God saying? God is saying that this is David speaking prophetically, and Paul is speaking it, you know, is speaking prophetically about the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was coming to the earth, really, it wasn't about the sacrifice. He came under the Old Testament. He was, you know, and introduced the New Testament. So, but he understood, David understood by revelation, which is why, you know, in the tabernacle of David, you don't see a lot of sacrifice and offering. What you see is praise and worship and relationship with God through the word. Amen? By faith. You know, and here, you know, he's talking about the fact that it's not so much about the sacrifice and the offerings and the works, as it were, of the law that we accomplish, but it is more about the fact that those works must be able to enable us deliver our body up to God so that God can use our body to glorify himself. That is what he's talking about. Okay, and in Jesus' case, it was to come with the body full of life and then give it up so that it can be an offering for sin. In our own case, it is to come with the body that is full of sin and allow it to be cleansed out and then carry the glory of God and use that to glorify God. Amen. Yeah. So you see, amen. Definitely. And of course, Jesus being the head, we are the body. So whatever the head has gone through, the body is also destined to walk through. Amen. That because he's the pattern, like Pastor always tells us, he's our pattern and he's our goal. Okay. Now we know that the body of Christ is a gigantic. I had to review Pastor's message. Thank God for fathers. Amen. Let's just give God a super clap of him. Amen. I went to Pastor preached the message 4 years ago, 2019, on joints, parts, and bands. I know some people are nodding. I read that and I was like, wow. You know, so fathers have seen way ahead. You know, it's not a new message, but I'm sure that it is fresh and it will bless us in Jesus' name. Okay, so the body of Christ is a gigantic spiritual entity, organism, you know, that contains all born-again Christians on the face of the earth. You know, the Bible says, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Okay, so we are connected to God and we are connected to one another. And as members of the body, everything that Jesus says, I've come to fulfill what you have written of me in the scroll of the book. So the same way he fulfilled everything to the very last moment, we also are destined to fulfill everything that God has written of us in the volume of the book. Okay? And so, just like the Bible says, Jesus was a man anointed in Acts 10:38, a man anointed by the Holy Ghost, whom God anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing those that were oppressed. So also we as men, anointed by the Holy Spirit, which is the earnest, and power, which is the Spirit without measure, are going to go about doing good works. Amen. And the same thing. So the first thing, of course, is like he grew up, we must grow up into him in all things. And then we inherit the Spirit without measure. That double portion of anointing, you know, of both physical and to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers, okay? And then disciple all ethnos and close the age. That's so God wants, that's what God is set to do, you know, in our lives. And as he says, you know, God needs every part of the body. Everybody is important in their place. Everybody is unique in their place. They may not be like you. They may not be where you are, but they're going to do something in the body that you cannot do without them. So we need each other. Amen. And we're not cutting off any parts. God is not in the business of cutting things off. Have you seen God cut anything off? Adam and Eve, did he cut them off? No. Even Judas was not cut off. He cut himself off. God was still praying for him to the last minute. It was he that then, when he realized that he had made a mistake, and instead of, you know, he went back, and when he gave the Pharisees, that's not our business, so you have collected it, that's not. And then he threw the money on the floor and went and hanged himself. But up to the last minute, Jesus was praying for him. God is always in the Bible. You know, the Bible says, a bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench until he sends forth judgment unto victory. God is in the saving business. Amen. And we also, brethren, should be in that safe. Don't give up on brethren around you. Even when they may not be doing what, or they, God may be using them, like God always uses, just like God is using you as a sandpaper for people in authority, God is using people to sandpaper you. To, you know, get rid of, make you more patient, make you more kind, make you more faithful, make you more consistent. Stop thinking of yourself and others alone. Yes, God will use other people, you know, and, you know, you have to do it in love, with understanding, having the mind, the overview mind of the Father, that nothing is beyond redemption. Amen. Yeah, amen. You didn't sound like you believe me. I said, nothing is beyond redemption. Amen. With God, there is nothing impossible. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37. So you can understand. Dry bones can live and are living again. Amen. Amen. Ezekiel 37, time very quickly. Let's quickly, we're going to go through very quickly. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which is full of dry bones. It was a valley. Valley is the place that is down. So the person is at a low level, okay, as a low ebb. No, in the next verse, no. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. Notice the two varies. Very many and very dry. Amen. I also show you that we got nothing but in the next verse. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered and answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's a wise man. He didn't know, but he just said, only you know. He didn't say, I don't know. That's wisdom, isn't it? Said, Lord, you know. Next verse. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of who? The Lord. Next verse. And thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. Next verse. And I will lay sinew upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath into you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Next verse. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Next verse. And I beheld, and lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So he prophesied twice. Next verse. And he said, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus yet the Lord God, come up from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. They didn't just live. The question was, can these bones live? So he's done what he said he would do. The bones have lived. But to show you that God does exceedingly abundantly. Hallelujah. He said, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, not just an army, an exceeding great army. That's the God. Give God a clap of him. So when you're looking at the dry bones, understand that dry bones are living again. Amen. And, you know, and just to give you an example, you know, God gave a promise that the children of Israel were going to be in Babylon for 70 years, you know, and that out of 70 they would come out. And they were there, but Daniel was there with them, you know, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what we said about the body. And look at what they did. That body, Lord, they changed the kings from Nebuchadnezzar down to Belteshazzar, down to Darius, down to Cyrus, that eventually made the proclamation, and they went to build the temple. And the Bible says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's talking about the type of the body, that temple. So in the end, the body did live again. The temple was built. Amen. Just to show you that God watches over his word to perform it. He has the power. He has the ability. He has the love, the staying power. He's not going to give up if you don't give up. And so that thing is going to come to pass as God promised in the name of Jesus. Amen. So he's living again. And you know, the first thing you hear is the noise. A noise within the noise. A noise, it says Isaiah 66. I think in verse 6. Isaiah 66, verse 6. Give that to me. A voice of noise from the city. A voice from the temple. A voice of the Lord that rendered recompense unto his enemies. He's talking about intercession. His intercession goes before everything. God. That's why Daniel prayed. And he was praying. He didn't just pray, you know, he had a culture of praying and intensified the prayer. And that's why there's Daniel Company in the land of Nigeria. And there is a voice of noise. And we now see a shaking. And what's happening? There's a shaking. You can see there's a shaking. People are aligning in a way politically that has never happened before. People are doing things that we consider extremely strange for the purpose of God to come to pass. So bone is actually coming to his bone. So you can tell that if you can see the blade, then you can surely, you're going to see the sinew, you are going to see the skin, you are going to see the breath, and Nigeria is going to live again. The fullness of it, an exceeding great army will now police the government of and the people of Nigeria. So God is raising up that army. So just to encourage us, brethren, that we are on the right path. That voice of noise, that the Bible says, a nation shall be born at once. That's what God is doing. But there's a build up to it, but then it's a suddenly. When Cyrus proclaimed, it was suddenly. But there had been build up over years. Okay, by God's grace. Amen. All right, so look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at what the body is like very quickly. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, 12, verse 12. We start from 12. Quickly. For as the body, let's read it together. For as the body is one and had many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So Christ is many members. Amen. Next verse. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, so there's no class. But in our mind, sometimes there is class. And that class, that prejudice, it affects our relationship within the body. God wants to work on it. And work on it so that it's not there, it should not be there. Amen? Whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one spirit. Next verse. So, for the body is not one member, but many, stressing it, that is not exclusive, it's inclusive. Okay, next verse, thank you. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's talking about comparison. We compare ourselves amongst ourselves, excuse me, we measure ourselves by ourselves. He's saying it's not supposed to be like that. Everybody's unique in their place. Amen. Everybody has their own role, as you see, that God has ordained for them to fulfill. Amen. Let's go on. Next verse. Thank you. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. So what you say to yourself is very important. When you're busy looking, we should not be, and others, I'm comparing. And I say, because I'm not like them, so that if I'm not in the choir, I'm not leading praise and worship, I'm not playing the instrument, therefore I'm not useful. That's not a body mentality. Okay? Everybody has their place. Is it not therefore of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? So it's about being in your place and functioning in your place. Amen. That's the mentality. Now the key is, that's the mentality. We must be functioning optimally in our place. Next verse. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as has pleased them. As has pleased him. He's the one that determines where you are and what you do and how you do it. And if you are changing because everything is dynamic, he's the one that makes the change. You just do your bit and God will do the rest. That's what God is saying. Next verse. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Next verse. But now are there many members, but one body. Next verse. And the eye cannot say to the hand, you can't look down, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. That means Jesus doesn't look down on you and say, I don't need you. Can you imagine that? He's the head. If he does not do that, brethren, we have no basis whatsoever to look down on anybody, even the one that is not born again or the one that is born again today. Yes, thank you very much, sir. Papa Spurga said, the feet is going to trample Satan by the time the head has finished with it. So you must look at every other part of the body in the light of the God that is behind them. The God who turned the valley of dry bones into an exceeding great army. That's the God that you are dealing with. It's not the person per se. It's the God behind the person. So you esteem them based on the God that is behind them and not based on what you see with your eyes. So must the spiritual people. God have mercy on us. Amen. God will help us. Just look at John 17. We see this pattern revealed. John 17 verse 18. When the Lord Jesus was praying, and he says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Talking about disciples. So that was the body then. Next verse. Thank you. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Amen. The word of God sets us apart. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Hello. That includes you and me. Hallelujah. Amen. So you're reading the Bible, all right? So next verse. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me by his life, because as the Father had life in himself, so as he gave it to the Son to have life in himself. Amen. And I in thee, by the love I'm able to walk in, they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Amen. So we see here something, you know, the same nature. The same nature that is in the Father is the same nature that is in the Son, is the same nature that is in the rest of the body. Amen. Just get, follow my train of thought by the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that nature of eternal life. And that eternal life, you know, makes us one. So there is a unity through that life where the life of God is flowing without any hindrance. Amen. That's what he's talking about. The same life in the Father and the Son flowing unhindered. That same life now flows in all of us unhindered. When that is happening and we are walking in love and forgiveness and there's a flow of life of God working in us, the world will believe that God has sent us. Amen. Next verse. And that believing will take us to place. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So as we walk in that unity of the Spirit, we begin to walk in the unity of divine love. Amen. And that unity of divine love will now bring the glory of God. That's the glory. And it's that glory now that will bring knowledge. Next verse. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know by that power and that glory and the love that is fully perfected, that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So we see that flow of eternal life, bringing unity of the Spirit, bringing unity of love that brings in the glory, and the glory brings in perfect knowledge. Okay? No, so it's the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's look at that again. It's the same principle, just in the mouth of two witnesses, let every word be established. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. That's that life. By his Spirit, where? In the inner man. Amen. Okay, next verse. All right. That Christ Now, Christ the Word, Christ the love, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, like Pastor Toto in our wheels, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height through the light that we get, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that it might be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. So that fullness, this is the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that brings the fullness of God, which is the glory, into manifestation. Amen. So we see that it's a progressive work that God is doing in the body. And what the members of the body do can either hasten or slow down the process of what God is doing. Because God is building up the body. The body is edifying itself in love. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. Let's read this together. And not holding the head as Christ, from which all the body, not some, all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with what? The increase of God. No, Bible talks about us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, that we may grow up into him in all things. Amen. So we're growing up into him in all things. But that growth, thank you, as you speak, we'll grow up into that growth is dependent on what you and I do or don't do. We can hasten the growth, we can slow it down, particularly with our mentality. So even though there's a very big God, behind the whole process, we can limit God. Bible says the children of Israel, they limited the Holy One of Israel. We will not limit God in Jesus' name. But what God wants to help us to do is to help us to allow him to have his way in our relationships as members of the same body. Bear in mind that this body is a spiritual connection. It's not based on you go to Winners or I go to one particular denomination or I go to another church or you are Anglican or this is independent of that. Remember what the Bible says. It is God how God has pleased him that he's doing it. He's not doing it based on how men have arranged things. He's doing it based on how it has pleased him. So somebody in Nigeria can be connected to somebody in China and can be ministering to that person in China based on what he's doing here in Nigeria. Amen. So God can pull your resource, and join people to pray when you are praying and link people up with us in the spirit realm under apostolic covering that you don't even know. That's the strength of the arrangement. That the Holy Spirit is the one in charge. He neither sleeps, he neither slumbers. He can connect like hearts because you don't see the heart, but God does. Amen. People would have given up on Zacchaeus if not that Jesus went to him. And to prove that Zacchaeus' heart was ripe, you could see the harvest. Immediately, he said, if I've defrauded anybody, I'll fourfold. He didn't beg him, he didn't tell him. It just came out naturally. We don't have eyes to see. God does. And the more we begin to learn to see the way God sees our brethren, knowing no man after the flesh, by the grace of God, the more we'll be able to minister to one another and the body will grow quicker and stronger than as it should. And we can quicken the glory. Amen. So we can enter, like Pastor has told us, we follow the pattern of the feast for the corporate one, but for the individual one, we can minister to one another in such a way that the people that are ready individually can manifest. Amen. And as they manifest, then obviously, then you are submitted to them, then you are under their borrowed anointing. So it's a win-win. It's a win-win. But it's all about our mentality and how we look at it. So Colossians 2:19 talks about the fact that nourishment is ministered through joints and bands. And like I told you, I looked at that weekly rema, and that beautiful, and I encourage you to look at it. On the archives, and it's parts, joints, and bands. And says, what is a joint? A joint is a connection between two or more Christians at the thought level. Look at 1 John 5:16, because the scripture paints the picture better than just mere words. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So he's talking about any sin that is not the unpardonable sin of rejecting Christ, which is not an easy sin anyway, because it's people that are mature that fall into apostasy that do that. So he's really talking about any sin that you see. That see there is not just a physical sin, is see in fact that God reveals it to you and I. Amen. So if you heard that somebody did something, or you got a report, or that, and you see, you can ask life for that person for that sin. That you are doing, you are activating the joint between you and that person. And they're using that joint to minister. First of all, you are ministering mercy, okay? Because you must understand that the life will not flow except, you know, mercy. Let's look at it in Hebrews chapter 8 in verse 12. That would say it. Let's start from verse 10. That would help. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws where? In their mind. This is how the law enters into the mind of a human being and will become written epistles. Okay? And write them in their hearts. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Next verse. Thank you. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. Next verse. For that's because of this, they will come to know me. So I can be doing something that will help you know God better without you knowing that I'm even doing it. That's the power of it. I'm doing it without you. I don't even know that I'm doing it, but I'm doing it. And the effect is being seen in real time. Amen? You see what I mean as we go on. It says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So the first thing is, no, we ask for mercy. No, Jude 21. Let's look at that. Jude 21. Thank you. Keep yourselves in love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So the mercy of God, when you say, Lord, have mercy on that person, instead of, it's at your thought, remember, this is at the thought level. So it's something that we have to work on, because your thought is, our thoughts can be very instinctive. You know, you can just, the first thing you think, you just think, oh God, you have not walked in love. You have used your joints negatively. May God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. These are the things that we need to stop. We need to fine tune, correct, and redirect. Amen. So he's talking about, so we ask for mercy. That mercy activates the blood of Jesus. Amen. And we have 1 John 1:7 now comes to pass, where he says that if 1 John 1:7, where he says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Remember, this walking in the light is a condition. One of us must be walking in the light. So the one of us that walking in the light is one that is making sure that we maintain fellowship and the blood of Jesus Christ is flowing consistently, so that connection is maintained and life is flowing in spite of what the person has done. Amen. That's what a joint is. So a joint maintains the flow. The flow of the life, the just like, you know, arteries and veins, you know, they carry blood, isn't it? Arteries carry to the heart, veins carry away from the heart. Okay, no, now, when, if God forbid, there be any block, you know, you want to remove that block, because whenever there's a block, blood cannot go past the place of the block. Isn't it? That's believe me, it can't go past the block. You know, once it's blocked, if a tube is blocked, before the block, you have the water or the fluid or the blood. After the block, it's dry. That's what sin does. It acts as a block to the flow of life. And once there's no life, there's no light. And when there's no light, there cannot be love. So the person walking, so it's important to make sure that there is a continuous flow of life between you and your wife, you and your children, you and your colleagues at work. You can pray together, but the ability of that power to work in you depends on the fact that there is a flow. The pipe must be open for the power to come in. It's not going to work any other way. All right? So that's what a joint is. A joint maintains the unity of the Spirit. That flow of the life of God through the blood of Jesus flowing all the time, allowing love to grow and build up in us. That is what the joint is at the thought level. That is what it is maintaining. All right? The band is a connection between two or more Christians when they pray. And for one another, either they pray in the spirit or they pray in understanding, you know, or travail. No, they are praying to release power, to edify the body in love. So joints maintain the unity of the spirit and bands edify in love. So you can put it this way, you know, joint keeps the line open so that the power can come in so you can build your muscle. Amen. So the muscle cannot, if God forbid, you know, if you are to tie or constrict, you know, a limb at a particular level, everything below that constriction is going to die. Why? Because there is no flow. Right? So what the first thing is to correct, remove the constriction, remove the occlusion, and let there be a flow. And then the more flow and the more food, then they can begin to do exercise, and then you can build the muscle back to what it used to be, or make it even bigger than it used to be before. All right? So joints and bands are there in the body, you know, and you know, so power flows through the joints. So joints allow life, you know, to flow to each part, so that sufficient power is delivered to the body for growth. If you understand it now, that means that the body can heal itself. Yes, because once there is a flow, there can be healing, there can be deliverance. Yes, there can be growth, there can be protection. All coming from the flow. Just the flow. How was Elisha protected when the Syrian army came to him? He didn't fight them. The servant didn't understand what was happening. He said, "Lord, open his eyes." He prayed. That was power. That's power to go into him to open up his understanding so he can see, so that the two of them, I and the children, can be on the same page. And with that eye and children on the same page, they now sent to the Syrian army in unity. Talk about body. In unity, now sent to them and said, you will not be able to see. And it worked. Amen. So you can see that by the mercy and grace of God, you know, we are privileged to be under covering of fathers who, by the grace of God, see very clearly. You know, and because these things are done precisely, it's precise. You know, and you can see that what you then do, you know, should be intentional. You should be intentional about everything we're doing to make sure that we maximize, that's it. You know, make sure that there's a sufficient flow on our watch. The one that you know about, what have you done? The one that you are aware of. When they told you about that person, that brother, that sister, yes, what have you done? Yes, you know, not just prayer. Pray, thank God for prayer. But at the same time, have you washed their feet? Because if you have not washed their feet, how is the power that you are praying going to get there? So it's really important that we do all we're doing intentionally so that the body can. And you know, as we grow in the body, because we're at different levels of stages of growth, we don't all have the same bandwidth, if you want to use that term. You know, if we're talking about joints and bands release power. You know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 1:15, you have captains over tens, captains over fifties, captains over hundreds, and captains over thousands. Okay? So if a certain, let's say for example, a regular saint, you know, when a regular saint is praying for another saint, or they're praying together, you can say that the power he or she is generating can affect between 10 and 50 people. Because it's the captain over tens. So it's operating in the level and the region of tens. The next level is level of, like, somebody who is like in charge of an activity group. That will be a level of captain over 50s. So if he prays, he can operate. This is God's pattern in the word that we are using. You know, so you can, so between 50 and 100 people, that person can minister to in life. And then somebody who's like a local pastor can minister to between 100 and 1,000 people. So it's a multiples of hundreds. So somebody is in few multiples of tens, and that person is between tens and between 50s and hundreds, and that person between hundreds up to thousands, so 600, 700, 800. That's still a level of like a local pastor. And then you have people that really are apostolic and prophetic leaders who are operating at a level of thousands and multiples of thousands, sometimes even millions, because of the capacity of their spirit. So you can imagine that the more you grow, if you don't do the right thing, the wider the impact negatively. And if you do the right thing, the greater the impact positively. It's important. So God wants all our joints and all our bands to be fully functional and effective. Functional in the sense that it's open and there's a flow. Effective in the sense that there's power coming out. Amen. So that the body is being edified. So when people are weak, we can give life to them and not join to at the thought level. That's where it's at. At the thought level, you can just crucify them there. That's why you can understand when Jesus, when the woman who was caught in adultery was brought, at the thought level, he was already ministering mercy on her and on the people all around. Because they were ready. They had said it with their mouth, and they just came for confirmation. They had already judged. You know, they were ready to stone her. They had judged already. And right there at that time, he was already, that's why he didn't talk. He was already ministering life to them and to her, to them and to her, to them and to her. And was doing it consistently. And that thing pushed back the sin from the air, because they were not born again. So he pushed back the sin from the air, pushed it back to the point where he said, okay, the person who does not have any sin should throw the first stone. But the life was already working. Brethren, we must be transmitters. You must be transmitting mercy and life and power and mercy and life and power. You must be coming out. Your children will change. They will. But sometimes we pray with our mouth, but with our thought, we close the door. God have mercy on us. Not on ourselves. So it means that even sometimes it's not deliberate. Because if you knew that was the effect it was having, you wouldn't do it. That's why God is saying that, look, we need to be a body prepared. You know, when we say the spirit and the bride say, come, we need to be a body prepared and say, Lord, yes, I'm ready. And I'm working on myself to make sure that I'm ready. I'm ministering. I'm dispensing life and blood and mercy so that people can change on my watch. That's why you look at Paul's life. You see the fruit of his ministry. John Mark. People that, yes, he disciplined him, but John Mark came back to show you that people respond to spirit. It's not affinity, or it's not relationship, it's not my auntie, my uncle. It's about the life and the power of God flowing to make a change that only God can do. That's why Bible said they perceived the grace that was upon his ministry and gave him the right hand of fellowship. Why wouldn't they? The fruit was obvious. But the mercy and grace of God. And the same way, brethren, we also can, in our sphere of influence, your family. There are people that I'm sure in your family are not doing everything you want them to do. You have to use them to practice and gain proficiency. Yes! You must be like the men of David. They were fighting with physical weapons. I said they could fight with the right hand on the left. One man can use an ox head, a bone to kill 300 people. The same way you must be able to fight warfare with your thoughts, with your heart, so proficient, so skillful, that you come to a place and just things are beginning to change. As my Bible calls favor, you enter a place and you say that nobody has got it. Just don't worry. Let's go. And you are right there. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our guy, come back tomorrow. My guy is not around. I don't know if I can help you. You come back the next day. Of course, you have prayed more. And you'll come back. What they said, you will open. Now you can understand when the church is operating at the rate as well. We are unstoppable. If one person falls down, the Bible says that no, they fall upon their sword and they will not be hurt. It's by the life that is flowing. There is so much life that there's a dominion. That's what Jesus did. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So light has the ascendancy and life. But no, we are coming from a death background. So many times, it looks like life is far-fetched. But if you begin to taste and watch the world at the edges of it, you see that this thing is working. This thing is real. And then it encourages us to be more diligent. Amen. All right. So why is this important? Brethren, purity comes before glory. I'll say it again. Purity comes before glory. The Bible talks about the highway of holiness. Isaiah 35, it says, it's the highway of, there is the holiness. When we see Isaiah 35, verse 6, somewhere there, the Bible says the fools, the wayfaring will not be there. Why are they not there? Because life has overtaken the foolishness. Yes. The lame man shall sing for wilderness. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall what? Waters break out and what? Streams in the desert. Next verse. And the parched ground, the heart that is so hard, shall become a pool. And the thirsty lands, Bible says, my soul thirsted as in a dry and a thirsty land. The springs of water in the habitation of dragons, where they shall be grasses with reeds. You will change the configuration. Total change in configuration. And a highway shall be there. And a way. And shall be called the way of holiness. It's before power. And the unclean shall not pass right. But it shall be for those the wayfarer and those whose feet shall not err there. There's no more error. Because life is the one that is in dominion. Sin is not in dominion anymore. Next verse. Next verse. No lion shall be there, Satan. No, any ravenous beast shall go upon it. Shall not find it. But the redeemed shall walk there. Walk is thoughts. Walk is thoughts. Praying, understanding is running. Tongues and travail is flying. Just that the height of travail is higher than the height of tongues. But when he says walk, he's talking about thought level. We must have greater dominion over our thought level as Christians to be more productive and be more supportive of one another. Amen. That's what God is saying. So the purity comes from power. So what we think and say, how we pray, is contributing to or taking away from the manifestation of God's glory. So it must be more intentional. But like when you come to pray in the morning, be intentional. What I've come to see during the Good Morning Jesus prayer in the morning is that your thoughts are just as important as your mouth. I've come to see it's important. You have to be thinking the right thing. So that's why the first thing I say when I pray, Lord, have mercy.
because I need it. I need it. I need it to be able to get everything in correct sequence. You know? And then those people just, okay, I will help you. And then in fact, that you are thinking the right thoughts. So all of a sudden, you that were drowsy, you are alert. Right there, you can feel it right there in the place of prayer. And then you end the prayer, and it's like, is it over? Before, you'll be looking, you know, when you finish, But we grow, amen. So the thought, we have to be intentional in our thought and be alert at the thought level. Don't be accepting thoughts, that are not, the Bible says, casting down imagination. Putting down struggles. Bringing into captivity every thought to witness of Christ. Lord, have mercy on me. I take that thought captive. I bind the spirit behind it. As we do our walking in the spirit. But, that's why. Because without the purity, the glory is not going to come. Amen? So we hasten the time. 2 Peter chapter 3, where it says we hasten the time. Okay? Number two, those who are faithful in sowing mercy and the blood of Jesus and the life of God and the power of God from the praying in tongues with the earnest, now they will be the ones accounted to carry the fullness of the Spirit when the Spirit without measure comes. Amen. Look at Luke 16 verse 10. As you sow, that's when you're going to reap. So the more we sow at the thought level, at praying for others, the more we position ourselves to reap. Let's read it. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. It's just what you give, what you sow and reap, sow and reap. So every time you sow in mercy and righteousness, you're going to reap. You're pushing yourself to reap the fullness when it comes. Okay? That's what God is saying. And then number three, why? There must be a divine shift in our mindset. A divine shift. A shift. Pastor spoke about it some weeks ago. I just want to re-echo it because I've come to see that it's so true. There's some things that we've heard, and we keep hearing. But brethren, I dare say that we don't do justice to them as we should. And the day you take it seriously and really try and break it down for what it really means experientially, is then you step into an experience like, wow, you mean this is available? That's the truth, It says, divine shift in our mindset. No, Pastor spoke about total commitment, top priority. We must make God our top priority. There is nothing that must be competing with God. Not yourself. Not your dreams. Not the promises he made you, like Father Abraham. He had the contention between the God that made him the promise and the instruction that was that kind of against that. And he said, I choose, it's God that said it. I've not doubt about that. I choose the God. If it means losing my son, I'll choose the God. It's called total commitment. Top priority. And what happened? God didn't take the son. Rather than that, he got a generational blessing. But brethren, God's testing all of us, pushing us at our respective levels. If Esther did not say, if I perish, I perish, would she have come to a place where she was dealt with Haman? It was a body too. It was Mordecai and Esther and a body of Jews. And he said, fast for me. I also, my maidens, will fast. So there's corporate and there's individual. But the mentality and the mindset, the heart, is total commitment. Luke 14, 26. If any man love father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And we have to push ourselves that level because we're going to be tested. And some things I've come to see, some things that in my own case, because I've made mistakes. And, just thinking naturally can be a problem. Amen. It can be a problem. Let me give you an example. John chapter 11. Let's look at John chapter 11. Thinking naturally, you have to deal with this. It's a small shift, but it's so important. Now, a certain man was... No. Verse 3. Thank you. I didn't say that. I beg your pardon. Verse 3. Therefore, his sister sent unto him, this Mary Martha sent to Jesus, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Next verse. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Next verse. Now, Jesus loved, look at the scripture, just so I can understand. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Next verse. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, how can you love somebody and then hear that they were sick? Therefore, because you love them, therefore, when they were sick, you are both 2 extra days in the same place where you are. Explain to me how that is love. It's not physical love. It's loving God above people. You must put God between you and everybody else. You and everybody else. God must be between you and everybody else. So before you do anything, you must make sure that what you are doing is glorifying God, is honoring God. Because the Bible says, I will honor them that honor me. He's seeking God first. He's a jealous God, though. He's not going to take just natural thinking. But they called me, so I went. I'm not saying you should not go, but I'm saying you need to check. Jesus did not go. He abode 2 extra days to wait and pray till Lazarus died. And all the brethren, and pastor has taken us through it, there were times, Bible says Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. You know, and they thought he was weeping because, he must have loved them. Bible says Jesus loved them. When you love people, you love them through God. You don't love them through just emotional love. You must love them. That's the kind of love that make commitment and say, I do. That's the kind of love. Is that the kind of love? You must love. That's why if you don't love God, you can't love anybody else. Because you know that the commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, will, with all thy soul. That's your emotions. And with all thy mind. Those three. Will, mind, and emotion. Then you will love your neighbor as God has loved him. That is the commandment. Upon it hang all the law and the prophets. So you must put God between you and people so that you can love them the way God wants to love them. Because that's when they're going to get the best out of it. So some people need to be rebuked. You rebuke them. Even though you may need to pray before the rebuke because it's going against your emotions. And your emotions are telling you, no, I don't find this comfortable. You pray, Lord, have mercy on me to be faithful. I pray and I deal with the emotions. Then I rebuke them. Sometimes to beat my children is hard. I pray. My wife will say, beat them. It's easy for you to say, beat them. I'm the one doing the beating. So I said, Lord, have mercy. Help me. Because what is done is bad. Give me the strength and courage to do it. And I get the cane and I beat him. I said, Lord, thank you. Because it's not every time that is easy. Sometimes, yes, you're angry, so it's easy to beat. Sometimes you can understand how he made the mistake, but he still beats him. It's a principle. So it's not every time you will do it and your emotions will be not. It's not every time your emotions will be in sync. It's not every time your thoughts will be in sync. You have to bind the thoughts, deal with it, and then carry out the action. That's when you honor God. There was now you have honored me. I see that you have honored me. That's what Eli. Eli didn't honor his children. He didn't honor God. He honored God now. He told them that what they were doing was wrong. He did. He told them. He told them, if you're doing this against, you're not doing this against a man. You're doing it against God. Nobody's going to be able to plead for you. He told them. He told them. But God felt you could have done more than that. And he took exception and took the priesthood from him. Tells you how serious it is. In God's eyes, even though to us it looks as if it's a small thing, the next time he does it, I'll beat him. It's not like that. God will have mercy on us, amen. So we see, and Jesus, God, until Lazarus died, and then God, so Jesus had to glory. Many times you glorify God in secret, then God glorifies you openly. Many times, the act of obedience in itself, that act of waiting there, praying, you know, and doing, and then going at the right time, was he glorifying God? You glorify God with obedience unto death. And then the glory will now flow when you need it to raise Lazarus from the dead. Abraham took his son. The son was not killed. God provided the ram in the thicket. You know, any sermon, the Hebrew boys, you know, they went into the fire and came out and got promoted. You know, the promotion was them being glorified by God, but they glorified God by going to the fire. Total commitment and top priority is a shift. So emotions, sentiment must not come in. Money must not come in. I look at our father sometimes and I look and I say, Lord, this is loving God. When you love God to the point where you let money, serious money, you let it go and turn your back. My God is big enough. I've seen them things that they have opportunity to save themselves or save someone that is dear to them, and God says, don't do that. It's not emotion. That's honoring God. That's why every time God comes to back them. Because they honor God. So, brethren, we also must walk in their footsteps. You know, this thing will help us to live above silent sins. Silent sins that nobody can see, but they're there. Pride, rebellion, sentiment, you know, things that prejudice. They are little because they don't show on the outside many times, but they're there. God will have mercy on us. Amen. All right. And then, of course, God wants us to also esteem others as better than ourselves, you know, because many times the members of the body, your salvation will come from them. Remember Naaman the Syrian? You know, Naaman could have missed it not once, not twice. Twice he would have missed it. It was the fact that he esteemed his servants, that they could talk to him. Even when he was angry. You know, some when they're angry, even their parents can't talk to them. So you have to be someone that you can't let people talk to you except you can't, people can't talk to you if you feel that they are below you. I'm getting angry and you are coming to come and talk to me. Is there something correct? Do you not see that I'm angry? I will use you as an example. There are some kings that when the prophets corrected them, they threw the prophet in the dungeon. We bear of affliction. And was telling them what God said. Oh, can you imagine? And there's some other people that as soon as they told them, David, he fell on his feet. Bible says his heart smote him. I said, I have sinned. So you must, it's esteeming, it's love, it's the work we do on the inside. Amen. As we walk in love. Amen. How then do we do this? Well, it's the way the fathers have taught us. We keep practicing the fear of God. Practice. That's the word. The fear of God. Quick repentance. Like something God tells me. Love begins now. Love is not what I'm going to do when I get home. It begins now, right now. When God tells me, what do I do? That's love. God, what do I do? It starts from that point, and then it's a chain reaction. So if I repent, and I do quick repentance, and I do quick obedience, mercy begins to kick in. Life begins to kick in. Amen. Grace begins to flow through the blood. And then I found that I begin to walk in more life and more life. And I begin to build on what. So, and I leave disobedience, I move towards obedience. I leave weakness, I move towards strength. I leave the negative, I move towards the positive. From now is immediate. It's not delayed, not next minute. No. Now. Now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Now, that's how it is. So that's the fear of God. Quick repentance. Renouncing hidden things of dishonesty. Full acceptance of correction and instruction. You may have some thoughts or ideas about why you made the mistake. And it may look as if the correction is harsh, hard, overbearing, or coming at the wrong time, whatever else your opinion is. You have to put your opinion aside. You have to. And not just at that time and say, Yes, ma. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. You have to keep fighting that war in your mind. That's what Abraham did. When he came out, he dared not tell Sarah he was going to take the boy to go and sacrifice. Sir, what? You must be joking. This boy, you must be getting old. Servants, hold him. He didn't tell anybody. So he was convinced when he left. But as he went on, he must have had his own thoughts, brethren. Bible says he hoped against hope. Just give me the summary. He hoped against hope. So he created a new picture that God gave him and saw it by faith. That's walking with God. You can't walk with God just by physical things. You have to walk with God with faith in your heart every moment of the time. When things are working as if they're not going your way, you call on the God right there and then. So you don't worry. You don't think on the negative. That's how you worry. You pray. Bible says through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving in the spirit. You know, you keep praying and keep your mind. That your mind that you keep in the place of faith is the vehicle that God is going to channel the power to bring the answer. You cannot be in unbelief and then expect the miracle to come because God promised. Your very act of faith at that moment in real time is key to that coming to pass. So when they went into the fire, it's helped me to understand. So this is how to walk with God. You have to be circumspect. You have to be thinking. Sometimes you've already gone two steps, and then God says that you've gone ahead. Me, I've not gone anywhere. I was here. I say you've gone ahead. Okay, I accept it. Full acceptance. Even when you don't think so. And then when you accept, and you say you have accepted for 1 hour, 2 hours, 6 hours, then he will start talking to you. Then you will now see that what the person that was correcting you was talking about is only one third of the problem. The problem is three times as much. That person is doing you a big favor. Now you're going to go and say, I understand. That's what Job did. He said, now I repent. I've opened my mouth. He said, who is this? I'm very sorry. Because he saw the extent of his error. And so that God had been merciful in dealing with him. Bible says, God exacted of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. If you see it properly. In his eyes, because there is God's eyes and there is our own eyes. So we need to move to his own eyes. Okay? So we must root out prejudice against others, but like people that are younger than you, younger Christians, people under your authority, or maybe you think they're not as spiritual as you, your children, your servants, and esteem them very highly. This is a body mindset. Have a body mindset. Number two, prayers. Okay, prayer with travail. Be awake at Good Morning Jesus prayers. And the pastor was sharing on Sunday. Pray in tongues when those prayers are being made. As some things just stumble on it. Well, no, they don't stumble because it's an instruction. But they said, pray, brethren. You know, mom just said, brethren, are you there? Keep praying. Sometimes is that brethren, are you there? Keep praying. That will wake some of us up. That happened to me. That was woken me up before. I'll be sleeping and then I hear, brethren, are you there? I say, I'm sorry, man. I was not there. No. And but sometimes when she says, brethren, are you there? I say, I'm there. You should be there. Praying and thinking. Not just praying alone. Because that's mouth. Thoughts is very important. Directing. Lord, have mercy on me. I confess this sin. I confess that sin. I'm going to start talking to you. That's so good. This one, that one. And I'm arranging. Sink and not stick. So when you're confessing your sins, you have sins that you confess that are peculiar to you. Hello? Yes, I'm talking about the fear of God. Yeah. Loving self and gifts above the giver. I'm telling you my number. Deal with it. And the more I renounce it, the more I walk in truth, the more I overcome it. Once I overcome it, what you think of me is immaterial. doesn't matter. I've come to understand that the pastor says, what people think about you does not count at all. What happens is in the spirit realm on the day, are you standing or are you falling? That's it. There's no other way to be able to make a statement and say that you are walking with God. It's no other way than to be able to found in your place, on your watch, nothing falling. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Amen. Watching and praying every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every time. I'm not saying anything new. But what I'm saying is that as these prayers, no, Pastor taught us, Pastor added this, that has helped me a lot, tremendously. And I know that's why he did it, to help us. You know, he says it, you know, he says, Lord, have mercy on us, and starts praying. No, Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your power upon my will, my mind, my emotions. I know, as I'm doing for myself, I'm doing for my wife, I'm doing for my children, my body, my circumstances. By the time you pray that thing, you root. It's as if you are directing the power to all those areas. It's directed. So you find out that you come out of the prayer and you feel strong spiritually. You do that 4 times a day. Or more, then you do at every opportunity. You know where you are free. Lord, have mercy on me to be faithful to walk in love. You pray in tongues. You pray in tongues for 10 minutes. It's a window of opportunity. Pray in tongues for 20 minutes. Everything you do after that, would you pray? I'm talking about praying with your thoughts and your mind. Everything will be just be directing you. People that are looking for you to come and look for your trouble, they won't find you at home. They won't find you at home. Things will almost happen. You will not be there. Because I've been in the way the Lord led me. The Lord needs purity of heart and power with your thoughts to be able to lead. You're able to lead. You can't just lead you just because you are born again. Yeah, but we that are very young and as Christians, yes, he will do that. But as we grow, there's more responsibility on us. Amen? Look what it says. And then, of course, we practice love. Look at Romans chapter 13, verses 12 to 14. Romans 13. Thank you. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting. This honesty is talking about in the light of the word of God. The honesty is not just I told the truth. That's one level of honesty. But the honesty is talking about is doing what God would do in that situation, which is what the word says. You know, so let's walk honest. Let's just walk in the word as in the day. You know, thinking in what the word says. Not in rioting, not in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, thought by thought, scripture by scripture. Of course, this is why we have to read our Bibles. Because we have to feel. You know, you have like somebody was sharing with me, you know, you have to fill the water pot with water to the brim. Thank you, sir. So that God can draw out the wine to the governor of the feast. The water of the word must be full. And that's why I thank God for this house. You know, we get sermons 3 a week. We get they're supposed to be going over them all and getting instruction. We have daily rhema. Then you have Bible reading. Then you have any other one that God told you. So you find that you don't have time for so many other things. If you're going to do that, so it keeps your water pot full. And so when stuff comes your way, because God is faithful, he will not leave you without what to use. When things come, there's something that you can use. To answer, Bible says you answer back with the words of truth. I've written to you excellent things. So you can answer back to them that send unto thee. The devil is always sending unto us. But we will answer back with the words of truth. Just say, I don't want, go away in Jesus' name. It will work for a younger Christian. But for as you grow older, you have to answer with the scripture. It is written. That's the Northern Compass. That now takes us into the destiny that God has prepared. It is written of me in the volume of the book. I have come to do thy will, O God. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Let's talk to God. God is building up the body. Don't condemn yourself. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord. Remember David? He made a mistake and went to the land of the Philistines, left the woman and the children unprotected, came back, that carried them away. People were blaming him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Encourage yourself. Lord, I thank you. I'm going to do better. Total commitment. Top priority. And then diligence in washing feet, in prayer, praying with my thoughts, becoming skillful. Father of lights, draw me closer. Lord, my heart is set on you. Let me run the race of time with your life enfolding mine, and let the peace of God let it rain. Bringing glory unto you, and let the peace of God let it rain. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight under the covering of our spiritual fathers, showing me that I am a member of the body that you are building up to inherit the glory, and that is expected and written of me in the volume of the book that I ought to minister mercy and power to my brethren. So building up the body, edifying ourselves in love, so we can hasten the coming of your glory. I ask for mercy. Help me to be faithful, to turn away from my omissions and from my wickedness. Help me to receive grace, to be more diligent at the thought level, at confession level, at prayer level, so that I will minister power more effectively, so that life will keep flowing in my heart, in my home, at my workplace, in this house, Scripture Pastor, in our nation Nigeria. Saturate our soul with your life and with your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Je prie que pour consécrer les papas pour tes cas, les bangos secouton, kangé koke, roba bangé koko jik, rose que tangé ko bangéri, kameade, ropo kose songéde na, rode bebebebebebe di kan, konja ki ko jamba katale, robo bobo bi, rokantebe, rekenomom, Gengaleveria, Rapa Kode, Rosema, Japa Konde Bikaban, Moka Baba Pongeria, Ropo Begelebe Pankoi, Ropa Kotebe, Jegeloman, Bola Berelama, Zepreketola, Roleme, Romadie, Ropo Kotebo, Rolebo Bobo Kosteba. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need of healing, just please just lift up your hand unto the Lord. If you're watching online, you just stretch your hand toward your device, whether it's in your mind or in your body. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in this place and your power under the covering of our fathers. We send the word of life, Lord, unto everyone whose hand is raised up, their hand is stretched toward their device, and we declare that Lord himself, the word, Lord took your infirmities, bear your sicknesses, and by his stripes ye were healed. And so we send that word of healing unto you. Be thou made whole in the name of Jesus. We break every yoke of worry, Lord, of pressure, of lack, of infirmity, of strife, in the name of Jesus. And we send the word of peace, unity, a building up, strengthening, in Jesus' name. Amen.